Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 118. Good gracious, summer's here, Phil.
Oh, it's warm. It's warm in my room, and I've got I've had to close the windows for sound and pull down the curtain for light, and it's just starting to get a bit sauny in here, to be honest.
I've made the decision that given how hot my living room is, BudPod listeners will have to put up with some intermittent traffic sounds.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough. It's I think we all understand.
What, it was amazing because, like, it was freezing cold with ice rain every day, and then the seasons changed like they do in a fucking video game.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm in Death Stranding at the moment. I've got, you know, in a video game you go up like a slight hill and it becomes a blizzard, and they're like, you're very high up now. It's like, no, I walk a hill like that just walking through town.
Or like a Stardew Valley. It's like, it's summer now. Plant the summer crops now.
What really gets me, and I used to find it romantic, and now I just find it kind of oppressive, is when it comes to summer, you have to open all the windows so you get all the city noise. At least I do, and I think you do as well. And that combined with like the hot air and me being in a shirt, I feel like I'm in a streetcar named Desire. I feel like I'm in a Tennessee, like, or some like play set in inner city Manhattan where people play saxophones on the fire escapes. It's like the sound of the city. That's my symphony. I feel like I'm some beat poet who doesn't want to be one.
I know exactly what you mean. You feel like you feel like you should be smoking and waiting for a phone call to come in on an old school landline.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Suzette in a while now. You know, back in the day when if you hadn't heard from someone in a while, you just had to wait. You just had to wait and hope they weren't dead, because you couldn't check up on them.
Especially if you didn't know where they lived.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if you did, what are you gonna, you're going to wait by their fucking door for like the whole day?
The last you heard from them, they wrote on a beer mat and slid it under your door. And that's it. You have no recourse to respond. You don't know. Yeah. You can't text them. You just have to wait.
Now you could just Instagram stalk them.
Now you don't even have to know someone to message them. You don't even have to have met someone to message them.
Yeah, that's true. You can send someone an HD 4K picture of your asshole that you haven't even met. In the old days, you'd have to build up towards that.
Oh, in the old days, you'd have to schedule a photography session in town, and you'd get in there, and the guy would pile up the gunpowder on the stick and get under his camera cloak, and he'd say, "Bend over," and you'd turn and bend over and show him your asshole, and and he'd go kapoof, and you'd have to hope the gunpowder didn't burn your asshole.
Yeah, just kablam! Right, pointed at your ass. And then he'd look in the camera after an hour, and he'd be like, "Nah, your asshole flinched to its blurry."
You're looking at a photo of your asshole. Oh no, I blinked.
Oh, I've got a red eye.
Yeah, you might want to see a doctor about that.
I photograph a lot of assholes, and they shouldn't bleed just from being photographed. I like walking around listening to when it's this hot, it's quite fun to walk around and listen to like sort of like Mexican music.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can pretend like because I'm watching my new thing that I watch when I'm at the gym to try and make me forget that I'm doing exercise. Is like all the Netflix mulch, you know, content, gloop, whatever.
Fodder.
Fodder.
Yeah, eye fodder.
My latest eye fodder that Netflix has provided me. I'm watching all the Narcos. Narcos
Mexico. Ah, I thought you might be leading up to Narcos. I watched the first series and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I've not watched the follow-up ones. I don't want to spoil it, but after a series or two, there's less reason to watch, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's why. So Narcos Mexico is quite interesting. And the soundtrack's very good. There's lots of, like... Well, it's very sort of 80s. It's 80s pop, but also kind of Mexican music, Mexican popular music from the time, and Narco Corridos.
It's a good show.
It's good stuff. And you can walk around listening to that and feel like you're in Tijuana.
Is the Mex... Because when they're in Colombia, it's about Pablo Escobar. But in Mexico, is it about real people as well?
Yes, yeah. It's about... the guys who built up the marijuana trade from just like individual fuckheads to massive cartels, yeah, very similar vibes. Lots of all Narcos series are basically just a swarthy man on a ranch looking at a crop and going, "There has to be a better way to sell this."
Yeah, they're quite aspirational, really.
They're very aspirational, and it's all very agricultural.
Yeah. And it's got the guy who is the Mandalorian. Isn't that nuts?
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Pablo Pascal.
That's right. And what didn't like Latin America give him shit because he didn't have the right accent for his character?
Oh. Apparently, there'll always be someone to give you shit, man.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, there'll always be someone to give you shit. Apparently, I remember I remember a while back I did some stand-up, I did a stand-up show, and I talked about being Chinese and all that, as I often do. And then I came off stage and outside I overheard a guy who'd been in the audience, who was like a British-Chinese guy, who was like, "I thought he talked about race too much." And I just thought, you know what? There'll always be someone with a fucking problem. There'll always be someone who, like, you're doing this for. You're like...
Yeah.
I have, look, no matter what you do, no matter how qualified you are to do or say something, there'll always be someone who tries to claim a legitimacy over you. So it's not worth worrying about, is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's true. And plus, I mean, you know, I don't speak Spanish and I'm not from Latin America, so I can't tell that it's this ridiculous casting where everyone is from everywhere.
That was their Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond for you.
Exactly, yeah. Although, yeah, his accent was pretty good, I mean.
But it was from the wrong place.
It wasn't correct. I watched one of the shittest films I've seen in a long time a few days ago. And it was advertised to me so perfectly that I thought I would love it, and it was so shit.
What was it?
It was Siberia with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that does sound up your street.
Yeah, so get this. Keanu Reeves is a diamond salesman in and he's going to Russia to try and do a deal, and his partner mysteriously disappears, and it's all mafia and things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was pitched as John Wick meets John Le Carre.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that you couldn't have picked two better Johns for you.
Yeah, there's two of my favorite Johns, man. But fucking hell, it was bad.
In what way?
So, you know that thing in movies where you're just supposed to just start caring about a character and they have not earned it?
Yep, happens a lot.
Yeah, that happened like three times in this, where you're supposed to be like, oh... he's in love, or like it's really weird. Like, Keanu Reeves' wife is played by Molly Ringwald, but only over Skype.
Oh, what?
He's like Skyping his wife like once from the hotel in Russia, and he's like, "Oh, hi, honey. That shit. Oh, yeah."
Was she under a duvet in bright sunlight, looking at the Zoom?
No, she was sat in what you know when kitchens are like display kitchens.
Yeah. And it looks like they've never been used.
Yeah. And they look freezing cold. Because they're just lit in blue and they're all white and it's all like...
Yeah.
There's like a kind of unusual staircase behind them. Okay, because it's some kind of fancy house. That's their house back in America. And he's, oh, hi, honey. And she's like, oh, don't forget all the diamonds or whatever. It's just some stupid fucking conversation about nothing. And so then you're supposed to be like, he's a cool guy. And then he has an affair with a Russian lady. And you're supposed to think she's cool as well. Because she runs a cafe and is a bit sassy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's really poopy stuff. It's poopy stuff. Loads of it doesn't make sense. Loads of it you just go, I don't care about this, and you keep just thinking, well, why just fly back to America, Keanu Reeves? You're very rich.
It's truly incredible how movies really don't make any effort to make you care about someone you're supposed to care about.
It's astonishing.
Like, I saw a movie recently.
However, I will say that it still gets a moderately good rating from me because one of the characters in it, because it's all about the diamond trade, is like a dodgy South African who's actually played by a South African, and him and Keanu Reeves speak to each other in Afrikaans.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. Good. So Keanu Reeves learned Afrikaans.
Well, he certainly learned his lines.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty good. And he speaks a bit of bad Russian in there as well, which he obviously learned from John Wick as well.
I need to watch John Wick.
You haven't seen John Wick?
No. I keep hearing it's really good fun.
It's good, man.
Yeah. I was saying I saw a movie recently, but it wasn't recently. It was La La Land. And in La La Land, I couldn't give it. I really like Emma Stone. I really like the Ryan Gosling. I did not give a shit about them two. I was like, I don't believe you love each other. Why? There's no reason. You just started talking sassily and that means love. I feel like it's all these execs and writers.
Yeah.
And writers are all losers, remember?
Yes.
Who don't know what love is and don't know what attraction is and don't understand sexual politics because they're losers. They're all fucking losers.
They're indoors writing.
Sorry?
They're indoors writing.
Yeah, they're indoors writing all the time. So they have to imagine what what sexual attraction and love is.
They want to go to a bar where an unfeasibly, like a bar in the middle of nowhere, run apparently by a supermodel. And the supermodel's like, they order a drink and the supermodel who runs the bar in the middle of nowhere is like, is that drink for you or your mom? Some like stupid line, and they're kind of like, oh, well, maybe if I, and they just do that to each other, and then they're in love, and they bang.
Yeah,
like immediately.
Yeah,
it's very
at
much
last a chick with a sense of humor that can take me. There's a chick who won't take my shit.
Yeah, and she's got a tattoo of the guy's favorite book. And she's embarrassed about it. She goes, is that my favorite book? And she's like, oh, she tries to kind of, oh, no one ever knows what it is because I am in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
How long is it?
Siberia.
Yeah. The movie, not the country.
It's pretty long.
Oh, really?
It's not
fast. Usually with these movies, at least they're like 80 minutes and you're like, fair enough.
How long is it? I'm going to look it up because it felt long. I will say this, if you look up the reviews of it, it's very funny because Keanu Reeves and this lady, they bang for like what must be a total, they bang like five times and each time they bang it takes like 7 minutes. It goes on forever, the banging. Yeah. And it's like to the point where I thought, did they make this film so that they could fuck?
That's the same in Zack Snyder films. In 300 and in Watchmen, there is an almost frame for frame identical sex scene. I think at basically the same point in the movie for about the same period of time. In 300 is when Leonidas is about to leave for battle. Oh no, then they must come earlier in the film. But he's about to leave for battle and he just bangs the lady what plays Cersei in Game of Thrones. And
yeah.
And it's just like slow-mo her riding him and stuff. And you go... Well, I don't. What was this for? And then in Watchmen, it's Night Owl and Silver Spectre have sex in his big owl plane.
Yeah, like, they fuck in the owl box. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, what does this have to do with anything?
Siberia, 104 minutes.
104. Okay, it's not too bad. At least it's not
an hour 44. That's quite a lot.
No, that's pretty short for modern standards.
Dude, watch this. It won't feel short.
Why did you make yourself finish it?
It was on, and I was on the couch, and I was dicking around on my phone or something. What was I doing? I was doing something.
Wait, it was
else
on the TV.
It was on Amazon for free.
Oh, I see.
What was I doing? I was doing some admin or something. So I was just killing time essentially. And I was like, well, maybe it'll get good because it has all the constituent parts of something good.
Yeah.
And then it was just nope.
Well, if you want a recommendation of an action thriller that shouldn't work, but sort of does, have you tried The Foreigner?
I love The Foreigner.
Oh, great.
Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan goes to war with Jerry Adams.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
It's like a fever dream. It's like someone got a really bad fever and wrote down Jackie Chan fights the IRA, and and then they went ahead and they made a movie.
But also they're like, okay, we're going to get Pierce Brosnan to play quote definitely not Jerry Adams, but we'll make him look exactly like Jerry Adams and dress like him and the same glasses and beard and hair, and he'll talk like him as well. It is astonishing.
But it's really good to watch, a Chinese actor using Vietnamese guerrilla tactics to fight the IRA. It's so good.
I loved it. I loved it. All the reviews for Siberia with Keanu Reeves say, the only reason I'm giving it 1 star is because Keanu Reeves eats pussy. There's a whole bit where he eats the woman's pussy, and that all the reviews mention it.
Really?
Loads of the tweets mention it, yeah. There was a funny article about it or something, yeah.
Is that to show he's a feminist?
He's a nice diamond businessman, yeah, I don't know.
He might be a criminal, but he's a feminist.
Oh, he's not even a criminal, he is like a real diamond guy.
Oh, I see, okay.
It's just that who buys diamonds, you know? It's like it's not a nice business.
Right, so it's uncut gems in Siberia, is it?
Basically. No, because Uncut Gems had pace and tension. This is Keanu Reeves wandering between Siberia and St. Petersburg going, where are the diamonds? And then going, hang on, and then just banging the Siberian barmaid for another 7 minutes. It's such a weirdly put together film. I just like the fact that there was a South African guy in it and he was actually South African and they spoke Afrikaans. That I liked. But beyond that, it's definitely the, I think he did it between John Wicks.
Okay.
Like, I think they smushed it into his schedule.
It's an intra-Wicks movie.
It's intra-Wicks. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Is it fine to have it on the background? Kind of, but your brain can't concentrate because your brain keeps thinking, but surely now it's going to turn into something. And it just kind of doesn't. And I always wonder, like, this film cost, you know, hundreds of... Like, how much did it cost, actually? It should be on the wiki. They're so expensive to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got such bad reviews. It doesn't say how much it costs, but guess it's box office.
Guess it?
Yeah.
30 million.
Just over $500,000.
Oh, no.
Woof.
Well, it's out in cinemas. This is what it came out. Like, so this is pre-COVID it came out.
It's from 2018, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Gosh, yeah. Even then, $500,000. Oh my god.
$500,000. It was really
12% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeesh.
Yeah, it's stinky stuff. It's pretty stinky stuff, man. Anyway, well, you know, from stinky stuff to stinky stuff. Let's do some correspondence.
Correspondence.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Into the freezing from the freezing tundra of Siberia to the peeing
Bumbra
of correspondence.
That's right, yeah. So we have a message from Gigi.
Gigi Hadid, at last! I knew she was a fan.
Yeah, well, she kept signing off her tweets Koji, didn't she?
That's right. None of her followers knew what she meant.
So the subject line of this is quite good. It's the subject line of her email is "Mysterious old Malaysian man and a toilet door."
Oh, this sounds right up my street.
Yeah.
Malaysia Street.
It sounds like a funny like roast way to describe you and me. Oh, is this a mysterious old Malaysian guy in some toilet door over here?
That guy's built like a toilet door.
That guy's like a toilet door. Ciao Filippo and Piero, I nostri giovanotti di caca.
What is that? In the night of the gentleman poo.
I nostri is, I think, our. Nostre, like our.
Oh.
I don't know what giovanotti is, but di caca, so like our somethings of poo. Our
right,
gentleman
right.
of poo?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. I used to work as an international flight attendant for a Middle Eastern airline.
Oh, cool. I don't think I've ever heard from a flight attendant before, or an ex-flight attendant.
Every month we were able to request certain destinations, and one of my favourites was Kuala Lumpur.
Ah, lovely.
Every month we were able, blah, blah, blah. The crew hotel had an infinity pool.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah. And the local area was cool. Bangsar and the Mid-Valley Mega Mall.
Okay, yeah, I think I have I don't know KL very well, but like that's a big shopping district, I think.
Yeah, she says, where I spent many enjoyable hours drinking boba tea and looking at tat.
Lovely. I'm always so intrigued by, like, flight attendants and flight crews are such a mysterious, like, fascinating world.
Yeah.
You know, like, what they get up to, their schedules and their little secrets, their little code words. Have you read that great David Sedaris piece about flight attendants?
Yes, yeah.
And the way they, on American Airlines, they walk down with a rubbish bag going, "You're trash, your family's trash, you're trash," and how he sees that, how he perceives that, knowing how much contempt they have for their passengers.
For these
"You're trash,
cattle.
Your family's trash."
Apparently, yeah. If you are, if there's like a 12-hour flight, right, and it lands, apparently the worst thing in the world is like opening the door to the walkway.
Right, the airport staff had to open the door. Yeah,
you're cracking open a fucking tin of farts,
and everyone in has acclimatized to them.
Yeah, everyone in there's fine, and you just get this like blast of bum sweat. Right in your fucking face.
Absolutely vile.
Yeah. So she says, the guest demographic for KUL was on the older side, either elderly Muslims returning from Haji or Chinese tour groups on their way back from a European holiday. You know, the ones who wear matching brightly coloured polyester tracksuits and caps with the group leader waving a flag on a very long stick.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Old Chinese ladies with poker visors for some reason. They all wear like, they all like wear like croupier visors.
They they all look like they run a bank in the Wild West.
Yes.
but they're dressed for the Olympics. They're going to the Olympics as a as their country's top Wild West banker.
That's so funny.
Many of them were first-time flyers and therefore didn't know how to close or lock the toilet doors properly, and this led to an abundance of awkward moments. We had to conduct hourly cabin safety checks, a key part of which was checking the toilets for bombs or smoking or general cleanliness.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Thank you for your service, Gigi.
Thank you for your service. On one particular occasion, we were midway through the night flight, through a night flight. Half the crew had gone for a rest in the bunks, and there were two of us left on patrol in the back galley. I like it. The other girl went to the flight deck, and I started conducting the checks. I thought they would be easy, as most of the cabin were asleep. I pushed open what appeared to be a vacant toilet, and instead found an old Chinese man.
Okay, here we go.
He was completely naked. I found an old Chinese man. He was completely naked, apart from his white socks and sandals.
Yep. Sounds about right.
And that's was pissing into the sink.
Oh, no!
Or rather, he was trying to piss in the sink because his aim was very poor, and it was all over the counter and the mirror and the floor.
Oh my god. A Malaysian Chinese guy. This is a Malaysian Chinese guy.
Must be, yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah. I shrieked, closed the door, and locked it from the outside.
Locking him in.
Then I went and sat in the galley and put my head in my hands and just tried to forget what I'd just seen. About 20 minutes later, the same old man entered the galley, fully clothed in his tracksuit and cap.
Yeah.
He was holding the toilet door.
What? He broke it off? No.
Yes. He was holding the entire toilet door taken completely off its hinges.
She'd mess with the wrong Chinese guy.
Yeah. With a wide and warm smile on his face, he placed the door at my feet and then disappeared off into the dark cabin.
Like a gift.
This is for you. I have done this. Leaving me completely dumbfounded. I don't remember what, if anything, I said to him, but surely okay, thank you would have been appropriate.
I just love the idea of this old Chinese guy again, trying to open the door from the inside. Oh, it seems to be a bit stuck. Here we go. Like the Hulk.
But also,
I mean, that's
like,
impressive. How did he take it off?
It's so impressive because, like, he could also... It's amazing that, like, in all of his fiddling with the door, he didn't just unlock it.
Yeah, of course.
So it's even madder. Like, did he have, like, a tiny screwdriver, like, from a cracker?
Or maybe he used the little shitty toothbrush they give you in a little packet on some flights.
And
he sharpened it into a shiv, like in prison, and used that.
This guy's old Chinese pissy MacGyver.
I thought that's mad. It sounds to me like he might have been... Because in mainland China, you know, there's a whole generation of very rural Chinese people who've suddenly come in to money and are suddenly for the first in their line to travel, to go on holiday, to go get on planes. And like the Hong Kong Chinese have terrible things to say about these people when they come down to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
like, you know, they think they're like disgusting because they just don't know how to use toilets. So it would be less surprising to me if he was a mainland Chinese person. If he, Malaysian and from KL, I'd be surprised.
Well, it's a big hub, right? He could have been on a connecting flight, saving
this
a bit
is
of
it.
Money.
This is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So she says, we, the crew, including the captain, all tried to get the door back on the frame, but gave up. It was too difficult.
Only the old Chinese man knows how to take it off, put it on and take it off. Yeah. He knows the way of the door.
Door on, door off. It's part of the Karate Kid training. Toilet door on, toilet door off. And pissing in the sink. I went through the cabin trying to find the man, but amongst the polyester he could not be found.
Just blending into the crowd.
Just like formlessly blending. Like, yeah, Catch Me If You Can, or like Hannibal Lecter at the end of Silence of the Lambs. Just
she runs back, come here, quick. He was wearing a full tracksuit and a visor over his, and then they open the curtain and they see that everyone is dressed like that.
And they're all, somehow they all seem like they might have recently pissed all over themselves. They're all that old.
I want to know how he took it off.
Yeah. Well, she says, life leaves so many questions unanswered. Continua segarlo. Keep jacking it, I guess that must mean Gigi.
Thank you, Gigi. Grazie. Is she Italian or something?
I guess, I mean...
There's no other reason to speak Italian in an email that is about a Chinese guy.
That's true, but she's a flight attendant, so maybe she just knows loads of...
Yeah, little phrases. Do you think you'd hack it as a flight attendant? I'd be so bad. I'd just try and avoid people.
Fuck no, I don't really fit in planes.
That's true, yeah.
No way, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, I would... No, I would have a bad time, I think.
Yeah.
Having to walk around and... I guess, what would be the fun bit? Just wandering up and down the aisle, farting away?
Yeah, maybe gossiping about the passengers with the other flight attendants. Yeah, he pulled the door right off its hinges. He's pissing in the sink. I think that'd be fun.
That could be pretty good. Trying to fend off the sexual attention of the co-pilot?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a thing?
It must be. It must get kinky. Traveling around the world with all these. Because, like, the people who work in flight crews, I mean, they're not all, you know, world-class beauties, but they're never, like, ugly. They're always, like... I've never seen an ugly pilot, and... Flight attendants are always like at least a 6, male and female. They're all at least a 6 or a 7, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I wonder how much they have to try and pretend that that's not how they hire people.
It's certainly not how British Airways hires people, I do have to say. But the rest... British Airways is commendable in its, I must assume, blind process.
Everyone gets blindfolded and has to hand out peanuts.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think the British Airways... flight crew application process is purely meritocratic. It must be.
They must bang. They're traveling all over the world in uniforms. Uniforms to turn people on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they stay in reasonably nice hotels by the sounds of it. They're cramped up. They're on tour, basically.
Their life is on tour.
Yeah.
That's right. This is one of my favorite beginnings to an email. For the brothers dung.
For the brothers, what?
Dung.
Dung. I like that.
For the brothers' dung. It's very
funny.
The
brothers' grim.
Yeah, the brothers' dung.
That's good.
So here's the full sentence. For the brothers' dung, I present a piece of extremely foul information about my mother.
Ha 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 Great way to start any correspondence.
I would... You know how they always go on about how like the first sentence of all these famous books is always really engaging?
Yeah.
I'd buy the book.
Yeah. This is a great start to a novel.
Yeah. My sister and I are aficionados of turd-based conversation. And around the table at dinner time, mid-first lockdown, we were discussing the finer points of a waffle stump.
A waffle stump?
Yeah. I know what that is. What do you think it is?
A waffle stump.
Yeah.
It sounds like an ancient annual sport in some village in England.
Yeah.
Where everyone in the town has to come together
yeah.
and stomp on a big waffle.
And for some reason, everyone's in blackface. And they refuse to stop. Well, I simply wouldn't be a waffle stomp, sir, without your blackface.
Yeah, that's what a waffle stomp sounds like to me. Whoever's last person stomping the waffle wins.
The last person stomping the waffle is the town mayor.
Yeah, is mayor until the next waffle stomp.
Yeah, unless he can't eat a whole turnip. All these little bets.
But but the title of mayor is purely ceremonial at this point.
Yeah, you wear like an antler crown and they kind of carry you on a chair.
It's a gilded cage, really.
It's a
cage. Paraded around.
It's a cage, but it's good.
Like, that's right. It's a cage, but it's a nice. I don't know if anyone's ever said anything like this before, but it's a cage, but like a good looking cage or like an expensive one.
Like if there was a prison, but the prison was also like a mansion.
Yeah, I don't know if... I hope listeners can get their heads around this idea.
I mean, if they can't, then let's just hope that their children can someday.
Yeah, yeah, with enough activism and education.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Phil, I'm afraid that a waffle stump is the act of taking a poo in the shower and violently hammering it down the drain with the heel of your foot.
No! I hate that happens regularly enough that there's a term for it.
I think it might be one of those Sickopedia things where it has a term in the abstract.
Like I hate it. That's like one of those, like, when you're a teenager, all those horrific sex positions with these ridiculous names. And you go, one person has done this, but the name is good enough that the name has gone viral.
Yeah, and almost all of those names ended up being someone shitting on someone's chest.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they go, but this time they do it and they're smoking a cigar. And you're like, all right. Is that why you called it the Cuban thingy? You know? There's really some asinine detail in there. So, the sisters are discussing waffle stumping at dinner.
The sisters?
The sisters.
Come into the parlor. The sisters are discussing waffle stumping.
Please, the women will now retire to the parlour to discuss waffle stumping and other female things. The men will have cigars and port in the sitting room. Why can't you be like your sisters? Sit at the table, talk about waffle stumping instead of all this talk of music and dance. So the Bronte sisters are there chatting about waffle stomping.
The Stompy sisters. The Stompy sisters.
The Stompy sisters are chatting. She says, my mother announced that she had done worse.
Gosh. Wow.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Yes. We were intrigued by this, since she's a 50-something-year-old NHS doctor who earns a cockapoo.
Yes, all intriguing ingredients.
Yeah, and a pillar of society.
Yes, this is what I was clapping for on my doorstep. A waffle stomping mother of two. And a cockapoo.
That sounds like one of the things that they say, in American presidential debates. They talk about the people they met on the trail. Well, I was in Indiana just the other day talking to a waffle-stomping mother or two. And all she cared about was taxes. She said, why do you... You know. Anyway, she told us that she had once done a stubborn beast of a poo in the disabled toilet at the hospital where she works, which had refused to flush.
Oh, no.
This made sense to us, since she is always saying that the holes in our toilets at home are far too small. What is this, a toilet from a doll's house?
That is a complaint that reveals more about you than the toilet.
You should just walk into a room and say, I take fat dumps. Just say that.
They're as wide as they are long, my dumps. They're like bowling balls.
We have tried to explain that the size problem is not in the holes, but she is blind to the suggestion that it could be anything to do with her personal creative output. Anyway, it was after hours when this occurred, and she was pretty much alone in the building, so she decided to take care of the monstrous poo herself.
Oh, God.
But this bowl dweller refused both the toilet brush and the plunger.
Is she going to use a stethoscope or something?
I don't know why she didn't just leave it at this point, but apparently the thought didn't even cross her mind.
Well, she's a responsible person, you know. She's a doctor.
She's a doctor.
Always thinking of the greater good.
You know, Phil, if you want to feel bad when there's a tragedy, look for people who are running towards the giant dump. Look for the helpers, yeah?
There are your heroes.
There's always helpers. For everyone who's running away scared, there's always someone running towards the huge poo. Trying to fix it. Instead, what she did was run frantically to the staff kitchen of the aforementioned NHS hospital.
There's nothing in the kitchen I'd want to be... A knife?
Yeah.
No.
Take a knife from the cutlery drawer, run back and use the knife to cut up her poo.
No. No. Like she's... like she's trying to feed a baby its first solids.
Like she works in a deli.
Oh... It's like she's trying to get into manageable chunks for someone who can't chew at the moment.
I loved Manageable Chunks' drum solo. just hacking at the turd like a psycho.
Oh, that's horrible. I mean, yeah. I should talk. I've as listeners of this podcast will know, I've stabbed a poo.
You have.
I've stabbed a poo. I've not cut one up, like I was disposing of a body, but I have stabbed a poo to check on my gut health.
Yes, yes. So you can empathize.
I can.
So she says, "This worked, but also resulted in poo going everywhere."
Yeah. Splattered all over her.
Yeah.
Like she's a murderer. Like she's Jason.
How does it go everywhere, though? Does she mean all over the loo? Or like, how's it leaving the bowl? With what level of energy is she attacking this lump of shit? Everywhere.
Maybe all over her?
Yeah, I guess. So she says that she made an out-of-order sign for the toilet door and reported it to the cleaners if she'd found it like that.
I mean, what she did was out of order.
Yeah, well, it was a confession. So she reported to the cleaner as if she found it like that, and then took the poo knife, open brackets, rinsed, home with her.
And threw it in the bush. She went over a bridge and like threw it, in, like looked around to make sure no one was watching, and threw it into the river.
She gave it to Fat Tony to get rid of. So she's telling this story to the Stumpy sisters. She says, "Oh, I took the knife home." So she says, "At this point, it stopped being a joke to us." We asked her.
Did one of the sisters slowly pull a knife out of their mouth that they were licking the butter off of?
Well, we asked her what she'd done with the knife. She laughed lightheartedly and said that she'd been using it ever since to cut up her more voluptuous excretions.
No.
She had a poo knife.
She had a poo knife.
I've heard of a poo knife before on the internet.
Mummy's poo knife.
Now, dear, don't touch that. That's Mummy's poo knife.
Oh, my God. Where did she keep it? Not with the other knives.
Mummy's poo knife. She said she kept it in the cupboard under the sink.
Oh, my God.
Disappeared a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
A silence descended. I found the knife, said my father. I put it in the dishwasher.
No!
It's in with all the other knives now.
No! I knew that. Part of me knew this was coming and I was still not ready for it. No! That's horrible. This is like an urban myth.
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
Believing in poo knives, boy. You're in one.
The poo knife is among them.
Yeah. My mother thinks that this story is a silly one. She laughs when it is mentioned. She thinks it's hilarious. We do not think it is hilarious. We sit at the table for meals and look at the knife by our plate, wondering if it's the one. We don't know how to tell people who come to visit. We watch them use the knives without a care in the world.
Oh, God.
I've got a year left of this before I leave for university. My sister has three. Neither of us think of our mother in quite the same way.
I can imagine. Poo knife, mum. If it turned out my mum had a poo knife, I'd have to completely reconsider the person I thought she was.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to rebuild the image of your mother from the poo knife up.
Poo knife. Bringing it home.
Given how long ago it went into the dishwasher, we have all eaten with the poo knife at some point.
Not to mention the poo knife particles that were just shared with the rest of the wash.
Yes, that's true.
But if you believe in, like, memory water, what's it called? Homeopathy. Yeah. Yes. Then if anything, the poo's been accentuated.
Oh, it's those knives are more covered with poo than if they were literally made of poo.
Yeah.
If you believe in homeopathy.
If you believe in homeopathy, you're basically eating a full turd every time you sit down for dinner at that house.
Given how long ago it went into the dishwasher, we've all eaten with the poo knife at some point, and we can't throw it out because we have no idea which of the fucking knives it is.
You'd have to throw out all the knives. You'd have to buy a completely new set of knives.
Yeah. Also, like, I quite like that as a life philosophy. We've all eaten with a poo knife at some point. My sister and I are signing this email as Yapoo, creators of the smash hit Only Poo. This is because we are too ashamed to use our names.
Only
yours,
Poo.
Yours, Yapoo.
I don't understand. Yapoo, creators of the smash hit Only Poo.
Have they emailed in before about Only Poo?
Oh, maybe.
It's too hot to remember.
Is Only Poo like an OnlyFans, but purely scatological?
Yeah.
You can subscribe to celebrity photos of celebrity dumps.
Yeah. On Only Poo. People would be fascinated by that.
Definitely.
People would be absolutely fascinated by that. That would make money, terrifyingly.
Oh, there's a story. Oh, did we talk about it? The story of that YouTuber gal or something who sold jars of her bathwater
for a lot of money? Yeah. She would sell bits of her bath, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
good on her. Good on her.
But it's another one of those things where you think, okay, but put all your... please pass all your customers' details to the police. We're going to let you make money out of this, but you've got to have a public service aspect to it.
Well, I love the story of Poonaif, and all the best for university, someone.
Yeah, good luck, Poonaif. Godspeed.
Poonaif Stompte. Of the Stompte sisters. Also yes. Good writers. They are good, very good writer. As all of the Stompte sisters are.
Yes, oh yeah. Also talented. People, you can debate who's doing the widest dumps, but it's what a family. Catherine gets in touch.
Catherine! Selling the water from her bathroom.
Very nice.
Thank you.
She says, "Hello, Spill Tang and Poo Fear No Telling."
Spill Tang?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess urine is quite tangy. And what's yours?
Poo Fear.
Poo Fear. Not
no
telling.
Telling.
No telling. Yeah, sinister. I like
that. That is sinister. Poo Fear. No telling.
There's no telling what poo fear he has. There's no telling what poo he fears.
He fears no poo. He fears no mortal poo.
I am no mortal poo. No!
Stabbed to death by one of Poonaif Mum's fat dumps. I must begin this correspondence by admitting my own personal shameful failing. I have never gotten poopsick in a morally or socially devastating enough situation to provide you with a good story.
Well, then what the hell are you doing here, Catherine?
How powerful is your celebrity to make 18 to 34-year-olds worldwide feel incomplete for always making it to a toilet in time?
That's very good.
Yeah.
18 to 34-year-olds.
She says, however, I have a possible answer for Pierre's inquiry about how the Wicked Witch of the West and vampires survive when small amounts of light and water are omnipresent.
Okay. Oh, good, good, good. This is a question we needed an answer to a while back.
Yeah. She says, I happen to be a Midwestern American with a diagnosed food and contact allergy to corn.
Oof, that's rough.
Jesus.
A food and contact, so like, can't even touch corn.
You get like eczema and stuff and...
Ugh.
Yeah.
I imagine it's everywhere there as well.
Corn in the Midwest of America.
Corn is one of the biggest crops after soybean, isn't it, in America?
And it's heavily, heavily, heavily subsidized.
That's right. Yeah, that's why it's corn.
It's like being allergic to snow in the fucking Arctic. So she says, where I live, corn and its byproducts are ubiquitous enough to be considered the light and water of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Many people don't realize that corn byproducts, high fructose corn syrup, have invaded every industry from organic produce production to personal care and medicine and food packaging and paper goods.
Paper goods?
Yeah, there'll be like cornstarch to hold it together.
Jesus.
Or something. God knows. So, if my experience is transferable, I would say that witches and vampires are either itchy or Benadryl drunk about 100% of the time. And never 100% confident that they won't vomit or shit themselves on any given occasion. Fucking hell, Catherine.
Wow, a real life Wicked Witch of the West. We can ask one directly.
Wicked Witch of the Midwest.
Of course, how did I miss that?
Jack 'em if you got 'em. Catherine.
I like that, Jack 'em if you
got
'em.
That's good. Jack 'em if you got 'em, boys.
Wow. And the bravery and I guess loyalty and sort of patriotism of Catherine not to move, not to leave the Midwest. She must love the Midwest. The people must be really nice to put up with
they're so,
being constantly itchy and sick.
Yeah, so friendly, like, ah, itchy, eh? Or like asking nice questions about it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, don't pay her any mind. She's itchy all the time. If you got to poop, you can poop wherever you want. Your contact allergy diarrhea is my contact allergy diarrhea.
This is equivalent of someone I know who is part Scottish, half Scottish, and deathly allergic to alcohol. Like her throat will close up and she will die.
Wow.
And,
fuck.
Yeah, I feel like alcohol in Scotland, not to perpetuate old stereotypes, is the equivalent of corn in the Midwest, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because in Scotland, if it's not alcohol, what is it? It's not haggis. Like, there's more booze than haggis.
That's certainly true. Dancing around a big sword. And that's it.
Kilts. Tartan.
Yeah, there's definitely more alcohol than kilts.
Tower blocks.
Mm.
Glens.
Like harsh but beautiful writing.
Morning rolls.
What are morning rolls?
Morning rolls are those kind of slightly fluffy bread rolls that are the generic bread roll of Scotland, but not of England.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're not a bap. They're better than a bap.
Better than a bap. Better than a bap.
Better than a bap. Better than a bap. Poo knife. Better than a bap.
some excellent correspondence this week, I have to say.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. We're getting closer and closer to being up to date, everyone. We're getting there.
We should probably remind people of the email address, because I've realized we're so correspondence rich, we haven't even had to make an appeal for any more.
We still get some dribbling in.
Sure.
But it is thebudpod@gmail.com.
Thebudpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And if I may, one final pod advert for my London Palladium shows.
Yes.
My London Palladium shows this Saturday.
June 12th. Saturday.
This Saturday.
Oh, and well, when this comes out, it'll be Wednesday, and the final night of my extra dates at the Soho Theatre is Wednesday night. Currently, it's Tuesday when we're recording this, and I'd like to thank all the pod buds who came to Soho Theatre last night, Monday night. There were loads of you guys. It was really nice.
Oh, that's great.
I mentioned you, Phil, and the podcast, and there was the audience, the wonderful noise. There's so many. There was double figures, definitely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic. Thanks very much for coming, guys.
Did they give you a koji?
Yeah, there were some kojis thrown around.
Yeah. I got a koji the other night at at one of my warm-up shows. It's nice. It's always nice.
The Bud Pod Revolution. Very nice. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I'll do one quick little email from Kristen.
Okay.
Hey, Tweedledee and Tweedledung.
Tweedledee and Tweedledung. Love it.
Yeah. After Rebecca's email about a shot glass of fart...
Okay.
Where her brother farted into a shot glass and kind of fired it at her face.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Awful.
I was reminded of a foul prank my brother used to pull on me. One Christmas, he was given a really large piggy bank that was shaped like a Budweiser can.
Okay, yep.
I remember those. It was made of the thickest industrial strength plastic.
Okay.
It was the height of a small stool, not the poo kind.
Okay. Wow, that's
big. And
my
brother had realized that the coin slot was the perfect fit to his, quote, blowhole.
No. This is disgusting.
In fact, it was not uncommon to see him pants down, sitting wistfully upon his throne. In an attempt to preserve his most offensive farts.
I like the idea that he's saving his farts for a rainy day.
look after the farts, and the turds will look after themselves.
One day his parents are like, we're going to have to sell the farm. And there's a very sweet moment where this like young boy runs off to get his piggy bank and goes, will this help? And he smashes it open with a hammer and all these farts just come out.
Mama, what about this? Ugh! Parents just vomit. Why would that help? Ugh! Gagging.
That's funny. I was only trying to help.
I thought it would help, Mama. No. So he sits on this little Budweiser can thing with his asshole over the coin slot farting away.
Awful.
Yeah. Wistfully upon his throne, in an attempt to preserve his most offensive farts. How did he keep them in, you ask? A Play-Doh cork.
Oh, God, this guy's really thought it through. He's really thought it through.
I admire the craftsmanship of it.
Yeah, the commitment.
Yeah. I came home from school not once, but twice to the... This is very funny phrasing. I came home from school not once, but twice to the uncapped fart bank in my bedroom.
What, just slowly leaking out? Just slowly diffusing?
Yeah, like Chernobyl. And the demonic stench.
Geiger counter is like...
We have to get out of here. And the demonic stench of at least 2 months' worth of stale, rancid butt wind infiltrating my nostrils, bedsheets, and clothes.
Oh my God. Like a humidifier.
A Glade bummin. This really tickled me, the idea of coming home and, oh, God, what a day at school. You open your door and you go, uh-oh, and the first thing you see is the can uncapped. And then it hits you.
And it's a big Budweiser.
It's like, also really funny because you'd think, like, well, surely the parents would intervene. But the only way you can intervene is by uncapping the fart bank. And releasing them. So you're still not helping.
Ah, it's a funny prank.
Perfect crime.
It's the perfect prank.
It was the worst, albeit hilarious in retrospect, Kristen. P.S. Praise was redacted. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, Kristen. Appreciate it, man. And thanks for that story.
Oh, I meant to say, Catherine's email subject was shitting witches, which I thought was really good.
Shitting witches.
Shitting witches, yeah.
And because that was to do with the corn, yes.
Yeah. I'd listen to an album by the Shitting Witches.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Second album was a tricky second album, definitely. But their first album was...
Absolutely.
Not everyone listened to the Shitting Witches, but everyone who did started a shit of their own.
Everyone who did took a shit, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, thank you very much, listeners. I hope you're enjoying summer, the lovely weather, oppressive fucking hotness weather. Thank you for coming to Soho Extra Dates. If you're listening to this, there may be some tickets left for tonight. There may not be, but mainly focus on Phil's.
12th Saturday, of June. Baby. 12th of Palladium. June. London Palladium. Here we go. Of June. At last. At long last.
At long last.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.